The issues that matter most, right here. The Drew Mariani Show
on Relevant Radio.
Far from veiled, the president of Wisconsin Family Action calls the message here clear. Written on the wall, if abortions aren't safe, then you aren't either.
This is untempered, unbridled, destructive passion. I'm very sad for them that they're so angry and don't have more productive ways to spend their time and their energy rather than trying to harm us.
In addition to Madison Police and Fire, federal agencies are also investigating.
Violence is not the answer.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, coming up throughout the show today, in fact, we'll break down what's happening for you regarding momentous advances in the fight for life, the Supreme Court, and what it means for the future. Arson investigators, of course, as you just heard, are probing a fire inside the headquarters of Wisconsin Family Action on Sunday. And this is really, it's a tragedy. There should be greater outrage. I'm not hearing as much of it as I would like. If somebody spray painted that message outside their building, if abortions aren't safe, then you aren't either. And, you know, we heard the in that soundbite there, that's far from a veiled threat, right? That is actually, to me, that's a terroristic threat. It really is. It's a dangerous, dangerous thing. A little bit later, Julianne Appling from Wisconsin Family Action will be joining us. You'll hear from her personally about what happened there. There is a new documentary out I want to get you plugged into, which I think will change hearts and minds when it comes to this issue. You'll hear a powerful conversion story. And as you probably know, across the country, and we'll go down to Texas, I have my daughter, who called me right before the broadcast, who will be joining me in a few minutes here. And she says, hey, Dad, I want to fill you in on what's going on down here this past week. And you know about the attacks on churches. I'm like, yes, I do. And she says, well, check this out. I'll let her tell you. She's going to be with me, Catherine Jean Lopez. We've got a lot to get into today. But before I do anything, okay, I just want to say thank you to you. Last week was insane. We had our pledge drive. Maybe you tuned out. If you went for the ride, it certainly was an exciting one. It came down to the finish. And on Friday, we crossed our goal of $3 million. A staggering 15,770 people stood up to join us in being a voice for the most defenseless amongst us, those with no voice, like the unborn, who's stood with us in this great mission of bringing Christ to the world, of evangelizing, of proclaiming truth on a daily basis. And I just want to thank you. I really am just so humbled by your generosity, by your sacrifice. And just want to say thank you. Right now, the total's at 3,178,000. So that number might tick up. Maybe you're on vacation. Maybe you were away. If you missed your chance to get on board, it's never too late to help us in this important cause. You can always go online to relevantradio.com or the mobile app, or give us a call on that pledge line. Still good at 877-291-0123. But I'll remind you again a little bit about the numbers in the program. That's very exciting news. Because to be honest, you know, we're in a difficult economy, you know, and I don't like to talk about the difficult nature of it that often, but it's real. I mean, I pumped my gas the other day, and I had happened to be in the state of Wisconsin just the day before, and then I was in the state of Illinois. So when I was pumping up my gas in Illinois, I said to the lady, I said, is this normal gas prices for you guys? Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, it was like a dollar more than the prices I saw across the state. And again, they rise and fall across the country, that's for sure. But hopefully we'll get that under control. Pray for peace. Pray for peace. Right, we need to resolve that. We need to get our energy crisis under control. But just thank you. I'm going to pray that God blesses you abundantly for your generosity. Hey, let's talk a little bit about some of the stuff that's going down right now with life. The leak of that first draft. First draft of the majority opinion of Dobbs. One that is, I believe, I really is going to overturn Roe v. Wade. Still making news. The draft, of course, completely. If you read the draft that was released today, it overturns Roe and its companion case, Doe v. Bolton. And what does it do? I mean, people are going crazy right now, aren't they? They're going nuts in the streets over this. There's protests. They're doxing Supreme Court justices. They're going wild as if, though, abortion is going to end. Abortion is not going to end. all the Supreme Court is saying, hey, this is going to go back to the people. It's going to go back to the state and their elected representatives, you know, and I really think that's what's going to shake out in the end. But the prospect of Roe being overturned, it has absolutely sent the left into an unmitigated frenzy. And I sit back from this. I look at the big view. I think it's a demonic frenzy. I think Satan is losing his ground. He's losing his territory. He's losing his ultimate sacrifice, right? That's what's happening. And as a result of it, he's absolutely going wild. Protesters have been in front of houses of justices, John Roberts, Justice Brett Kavanaugh. More protests are expected today in front of the homes of Neil Gorsuch and Samuel Alito. And Alito's family has moved out of their house to an undisclosed location for safety. Listen to this. Protesters took to the streets on Mother's Day, and they actually camped out. I'm telling you, if that was my family, I'd be just a little bit nervous. I don't know how this is going to go. Here's a little bit of CBS's reporting on it.
Demonstrators on Saturday took their battle directly to the homes of Supreme Court Justices John Roberts and Brett Kavanaugh.
You don't get to take away my bodily autonomy and enjoy your Saturday night at home.
The justices' home addresses were leaked online, renewing concerns for their safety. On Friday, conservative Justice Clarence Thomas told a judicial conference the court cannot be an institution that can be bullied into giving you just the outcomes you want.
It's unbelievable, isn't it? It says, you're not going to tell me what to do my bodily autonomy, right? Well, what about the baby? What about its bodily autonomy, right? You can't tell me what you're going to have. There'll be no peace. Well, that poor little child in the womb is who I want to be a voice for. The White House issued a statement on Twitter saying that the president strongly believes in the constitutional right to protest, but that should never include violence or threats or vandalism. Can I just turn the hands of time back for a second? I don't want to get too off tangent because I got a lot to get to today. Do you remember the death of George Floyd, which was an absolute tragedy? Okay, it was a travesty. It was horrific. Do you see what happened to innocent people in cities like Minneapolis and Seattle and New York and L.A., where people took to the streets with violence, with threats, and vandalism? I didn't hear Joe Biden. I didn't hear a whole lot of people strongly denounce that or say, hey, I believe in the constitutional right to protest. Well, so do I. And I agree, it should never include violence, threats, or vandalism. Why weren't we hearing that then, right? Joe Biden went on to say, judges perform an incredibly important function in our society. They must be able to do their jobs without concern for personal safety. I re-echo that. He's absolutely right on that. But it's a pretty weak statement. You know, they managed not only, you know, to anger conservatives with what is really a non-statement, but they also angered a lot of Democrats, including one who said this. They said, quote, a very clear sign, as if though we needed another one, that the administration will not provide the leadership or even the meaningful support in the coming fight to restore women's full citizenship. I think the whole country should be outraged that men and women who sit on the highest court in the land can't do their jobs. First of all, that there was a leak, terrible violation. But now their family members and their own safety is being threatened. I think it's twisted. It's wrong. There should be outrage from both sides of the aisle. There should be a more vocal outrage, of course, from the president. People are going so far right now as to claim that Justice Gorsuch and Kavanaugh and Alito, they committed perjury. Did you hear this? This is just one final note on the Supremes here. Oh, yeah, these judges, they lied. They committed perjury when they were asked about their stance on Roe in their respective Senate hearings. You know, for instance, there was a comedian, you probably know Stephen Colbert, who calls himself a Catholic. Say a prayer for him. Say Hail Mary for him right now. That'll come to his true Catholicity. He said this on the show. He said, quote, they knew if they were honest, they wouldn't get the job, so they lied, which I think is perjury. But what do I know? I'm no Supreme Court justice. I'm just a good enough liar, end of quote. That's Colbert. He certainly isn't a legal scholar either, a real constitutional scholar named Jonathan Turley. He's been a friend of this show for a while. He's out of Georgetown University. You may have seen him on some media outlets. And Turley, if I remember correctly, I think he's actually a Democrat. He has rejected the argument saying that in their hearings, you know, they were basically repeating truisms. None of them made commitments to anything against Roe. None of them have done that. Another public you know, figure who claims to be Catholic is House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. And she showed up again with, you know, showing us really where her loyalties lie. And they're not with the church. The ball, she says, is in the court of those justices. And she added, let's just be prayerful about this. But you know what, Nancy, I'm with you. I'm totally with you. Let's be prayerful that the judges rule correctly, that life is protected and upheld. She goes, let's just be prayerful about this. This is about respect for privacy. What's next? What's next? Marriage? Equality? What's next? Contraception? Now, remember, she's a Catholic saying this stuff, right? And look how marriage has been redefined. Look at where the church stands when it comes to artificial contraception and where the church stands with life. Everything she's saying here is antithetical to those positions. You know, it's the complete opposite. Let's pray about this. Let's pray that God will bring an end to the deathly reign of Roe, Speaker. That's what I say. So, but, you know, what happened over this weekend ended up rolling into other areas. You know, there was that alert. You got to be careful. There might be some protests in churches around the country. Catholic churches and pro-life organizations, we'll talk to the one that caught fire this past weekend, the arson attack on it. A lot of churches were vandalized. I got a phone call right before my broadcast from my daughter, who was filling me in. She's going to be joining me in just a second. But I want to play some audio for you. At the Cathedral of Our Lady of the Angels in Los Angeles, left-wing protesters, they tried shutting down Sunday Mass again because, and again, I think it's a demonic frenzy. But why attack the Catholic Church, right? Well, because of our stand on life, right? Of honoring the commandments, thou shalt not kill. So they target Catholics in particular. A lot of the Supreme Court justices are Catholic, too. It's another reason. But listen to what happened here. Again, this is at the Cathedral of Our Lady of Angels in Los Angeles.
Respect us.
You want respect.
You want respect.
Yes.
As you guys want respect, we want respect, too.
I
understand
that. Get out of here.
I understand. You know what? I understand.
I understand.
We are with you.
But this is so disrespectful.
Please,
it's such anger, right? Anger, confusion, spirit of dissent, sacrilege in some respects. I see the demonic element. You know, one of the group behind some of these attacks, I don't know if they were all driven by them. There's a radical group out there called Ruth Sent Us, and they made threats that they're going to desecrate the Eucharist. Listen to outside of a church. That was inside a church, the audio you just heard. There was an event that unfolded in New York City. It was a pro-death activist group that had a rally outside of the Basilica of Old St. Patrick in New York. And while men from the parish stood in front of the doors, they began to pray the rosary in Latin. Check this out. You know, I'm sorry. It's just sad. I mean, that's all I can say. My producer, Maggie, when she was tracking down the audio, she said, disgusting was the word she used. You know, that's what she said, disgusting. And you know what she said? She says it is demonic. I'm convinced of that. Satan's coming right up to the church doors, no doubt about it. My daughter, as I said, had called me. She's now down in Texas. She's the Marine I often tell you about. Doing some missionary work down in Texas right now. And as I was getting ready for the broadcast, my phone rings, and I see her name pop up. And I said, hey, honey, what's going on? She goes, Dad, are you aware of what's happening down here in Texas? I said, no. And she filled me in on some of what is now unfolding. And I invited her to stop by and to share a little bit with you what is being reported, what she's experiencing, and what she's hearing and seeing down there, too. Andrea, good afternoon. Good to have you with me. Thanks for calling in. Thanks for being willing to come on.
Hey, Dad. How's it going?
That's awesome. So, look, Dre, fill us in, would you, on what happened in your own church. I know there was a church where you pray, and there was some vandalism. There was also an attack on the Eucharist Fill everyone in on some of the events that are there that are now unfolding.
Yeah, so I live in the city of Houston in Texas, and I've been here for maybe about 3 or 4 years now. And if you guys remember, maybe 2 or 3 years ago, they were having black masses going on in the Houston area. So there's a lot of protests that we were praying the roads are outside of those areas. Fast forward to maybe about a couple months ago, I work at a parish in Denver Harbor area, Fifth Ward, if you guys are familiar, and they tried to set our parish on fire. And so I'm not sure if that's related, but this weekend, in the wake of Roe versus Wade, our priests were telling us that they've been getting a lot of people reaching out saying that they wanted to come in and disrupt the masses while they were going on. But even more visibly, what happened last night was a parish that I attend when I'm not attending the one that I work at. The priest was telling us during the homily, he said that he had an appointment in the morning, and when the man knocked on the door, he opened it and he said, "Hey, Father, are you aware of what's written on the doors of your church?" And he said, "No, I'm not." He said, "Come out and see." So he walked out around the corner and he saw written on the two front doors of the church, "Pro-choice is pro-life." And equally to that, another parish nearby called St. Bart's,
wow,
they were vandalized as well as had their tabernacle stolen from the church. And then in the same token this weekend, there was people at another parish nearby in Katy who had taken the Eucharist and were trying to take it, essentially. And when they were stopped, they crushed our Blessed Lord in their hand. And one thing that the priest said today during his homily, which I thought was really powerful and I thought was really true, is that a lot of times, like, when we're being attacked with hate, like when we're in the face of injustice, we want to retaliate with hate and injustice because that's what we think will make us feel better. But love is so much more powerful than hate. And I've seen it in my own life where, you know, I've prayed for someone and they've changed their ways, right? Prayer is powerful, and the devil knows that. The devil's aware that the church is the truth and that we truly have Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. And so he'll do anything he can to attack it. But what we have to do is we have to not retaliate with hate, but we have to turn to prayer, and we have to speak up and not be afraid to stand up for what's right and true. So that's just some what's going on in Houston over here right now.
I appreciate it. You know, I did not know about the tabernacle story until you told me. And then Maggie, my producer, said, "Hey, did you hear about that?" So I don't have any more information on what's happening there. Have they found that yet, or is that still missing?
I haven't heard any word about it, okay, if they found it or not. But I know that tomorrow I heard that there's going to be a rosary rally in a park in Houston called Discovery Green. And so at 3 p.m. tomorrow, there's going to be a rosary prayed for the injustices going on around here.
Awesome. Well, if you are in the Houston area, go and check that out and get to church. I know you do an hour, a holy hour every day. So pray for us and all the listeners here at Relevant Radio, and we'll pray in a special way for those who are perpetrating these great evils. Hey, sweetheart, thanks for coming on. It was great having you here.
All right. Thanks, Dad. Bye.
All right. Love you, honey. Talk to you later.
Love
my
you
daughter.
Too. Bye.
That's Andrea Marie. And my Marine, very proud of her, very spiritual girl. They said, pray for her, too. I think she's really discerning a vocation. She's doing some missionary work right now. But I was glad she called because I was not aware of all this. Yeah, you know, look at the language. Pro-choice is pro-life. Does that make sense? You know, I guess it's how you define those words, right? I mean, what do they mean? That's what was scribbled or, plastered on the front of a Catholic church. Tabernacles being stolen, Blessed Sacraments being desecrated. It's absolutely horrific. There was a piece I saw earlier today. It was written by Catherine Jean Lopez. She's an editor at National Review, and she goes every month to Old St. Patrick's Cathedral in New York City to pray. Goes there to Mass, participates in a procession from a local Planned Parenthood to pray for an end of abortion at that location. And they weren't able to get out of the church on Saturday. And I said, Catherine, you got to stop by. You got to share this with everyone as well. So she's here to explain what happened as well. Catherine, great to have you with me today. Welcome back.
Hi, Drew. What a testament your daughter is to you and your wife.
Yeah.
What a beautiful testimony.
You. Yeah, she's a beautiful girl. We're very proud of her, that's for sure.
Clearly.
Very proud. So tell me what's going on with you. What happened there?
Yeah.
So much is going on around the country. You can speak to that, too, but fill us in.
Well, the first Saturday of every month, we go down to Lower Manhattan to pray, to have Mass, and then pray in front of the Planned Parenthood, which is less than a block away. And probably for the last year about, we've had protests. Protesting prayer, essentially, right? They claim that the Franciscan friar, Father Fidelis Machinsky, who organizes these and has for about 13 years now, 14 years, it harasses women. Of course, they've had to change it to harasses abortion patients because we know about the men who can get pregnant. And so anyhow, this for the last couple of months, there have been attempts to block us from going to Planned Parenthood, but the police are always there and they move people along. One second Saturday in Brooklyn last summer, the police actually had to arrest some of the protesters because they wouldn't let us walk. They just had a human blockade, essentially. So anyway, the police on Saturday said to Father Fidelis that they didn't think they could protect us. They thought this was a different crowd, that Antifa might be involved. And so they asked us not to process. So out of cooperation and knowing that there were these threats for Sunday and knowing that the pastor needed police help on Sunday if people were going to disturb the church, most of the people stayed in the church. Now, a few of us, including Father Fidelis, went out the back door, which the protesters didn't realize we could do, and went outside Planned Parenthood. And there were a few protesters there as well. They always harass poor Father Fidelis in the most demeaning ways, but he has such peace about him. He knows, you know, he's walking into to the heart of evil, and really, you know, in front of the abortion clinic. And so everybody prayed the rosary, you know, who didn't go over to Planned Parenthood, as usual, the Blessed Sacrament exposed in the church. We just didn't have that same public witness, which, you know, the police knew that they could ask us to cooperate and you know, make sure that there's no violence on the streets, right? Because one thing, you know, I will say for the police, the tensions are so heightened. As I was out there, you know, the locals are going over to the escorts, the Planned Parenthood escorts, who block the way for sidewalk counselors, you know. So a woman doesn't have a chance to hear an alternative, you know, and said, thank you so much for being here, these evil people, you know, who are harassing women. And of course, all we're doing is standing across the street like we do every first Saturday, praying the rosary. That's all we wanted to do. But that's becoming increasingly difficult because of a lack of tolerance for a different point of view.
That's so true. I mean, everybody, you know, sings about how important it is to be tolerant, and yet there's a spirit of intolerance. If your view doesn't align with theirs, there's no such thing as this tolerance.
Yeah, and there's a really there was a deranged aspect to the protest, to be quite honest.
Yeah.
And frequently, I've seen this, but this time, a performance artist showed up, and I didn't quite know what was going on at the time, but have subsequently found out. She basically simulated an abortion with baby dolls. I mean, it was a new level of deranged, and also said at one point, God killed his kid. Why can't I kill mine? And I thought, oh my God, you know, complete attack on religion, you know, and obviously human life. But I do think there's an aspect of, it's a combination of the culture of death, COVID, all the confusion being taught, right? And people are angry and unhappy and hurt. I mean, I just, you know, your daughter was so beautifully talking about responding with love. I mean, my heart aches for some of these people. I mean, a girl who would do that, you know, the people standing out there saying God loves abortion and of course, that it's healthcare and all these things. just obviously have no understanding of what we're talking about.
So
and
true.
It is a real, you know, challenge to be able to communicate to people who are living on a different reality plane, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Hey, Catherine, stay with me. I have got to take just a short pause here. When we come back,
we'll
pick it up. I know you're running low on your juice there, but we come back.
I think we'll be okay.
We'll talk. We'll talk more. If you want to join us, feel free to dial in too. The number here is always open for you at 888-914-9149. 888-914-9149. Abortion rights activists gather outside of Catholic churches in downtown Manhattan. Really, across the country, a lot of protests this past week, and giving you some insight into what's unfolding and really what's behind it. Catholic Order of Foresters, the sponsor of our studio line, is hiring today with several positions throughout the U.S. Visit relevantradio.com/forester to learn more about how you can find your vocation with COF, an Illinois Life Insurance Society, not licensed in all states.
All the news and issues
now
that are happening now.
It's the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
So good to be with you. Thank you for joining me. If you're just tuning in, we're speaking with Catherine Jean Lopez, just giving you an update on what's happening. Temperatures are rising right now around the country as a leaked Supreme Court document made it into the public square, as you know. Kind of a portent, perhaps, of what's going to happen regarding the Dobbs case and the overturn of Roe and his companion case. We will see whether or not there are changes in that, when the Supremes will ultimately release that. But people are in a frenzy. Not only are corporations around the nation now trying to think preemptively, what are we going to do if Roe is overturned? You know, what are we going to do? You got companies like Tesla who joined the ranks of major companies who now are going to offer travel compensation for employees who want to go get an abortion in states where they have been banned. And, you know, the list of those go on. A lot of companies right now are trying to evaluate that. And I can give you a list of some others. I'll talk about that with you maybe a little bit later. But the question right now is, you know, where do we go from here? And Catherine, I want to pick it up on that particular point. You got companies, major companies now saying, what are we going to do if Roe's overturned? And, you know, they're looking at how they're going to help, you know, protect so-called, quote, reproductive justice or freedom or whatever, you know, euphemism they want to call murder and make it available for their employees. I saw companies, major companies like Lowe's and Walmart and others now, you know, evaluating these particular issues. Roe's not going away. Well, Roe is going away, but abortion's not going away. It just goes back to the people and to their elective representatives. And if you want abortion in this country, you're still able to get it. So, you know, let's speak to that. You would think that, you know, in just a matter of weeks, abortion is going to be illegal in every state across the union. In fact, Chuck Schumer, I heard him earlier today, want to get a vote in to codify Roe, you know, across the country. Give me your thoughts on that. Why the reaction to this? It's visceral, it's violent, it's angry, in light of the fact that not a whole lot's going to change.
Yeah, you know, it's really evil on the part of the people who know better. Schumer knows better. And he's pouring salt into wounds. He's creating this anger that is unnecessary because, as you said, Drew, and the draft document, we don't know if it's the current opinion, we don't know if it's the final opinion, it's a February draft, but the February draft makes super clear that overturning Roe is not the end of abortion in America. And in states like my state, New York, we're going to become an abortion destination. In fact, our current governor, who's a graduate of Catholic University Law School, I might add, has made clear that she's already welcomed Texas women to New York. Lady Liberty will embrace you, she said. And it's the other night when the document was leaked and published by Politico, she tweeted about her newborn granddaughter and her determination to ensure that her infant granddaughter has the right to have an abortion. Now, what kind of society do we live in where a grandmother looks at her granddaughter and thinks about abortion? My prayer in all of this, that is in some of the overreach that we're seeing in the media and elsewhere, you know, most Americans are not radically for abortion. If they're pro-choice, they want to know that women in difficult situations have options. And our job is to make sure that women and families know what the options are, know how you go about adoption, how you know go about getting some of the resources that exist, both public and private, to make life plausible, you know. I often say to people who consider themselves pro-life, do the young people in your life know that if found themselves in a situation they didn't plan, they could come to you and you would help, you wouldn't judge. Sometimes I worry, you know, even as somebody who, you know, prays outside abortion clinics, I know some of these people and thinking we're judging them with our rosaries. But it's the farthest from the truth. I'm standing Amen. There as an act of penance because we haven't been doing our jobs talking Amen. About the gospel of life and living in the attitudes and all the rest. And so, you know, I think the most critical thing to do this moment, besides pray, including praying for the safety of the Supreme Court justices, which I think is a real threat until we have a final opinion, take a look at, you know, what exists in your community, what doesn't exist in your community, what more can we do? Are we having holy hours for, you know, for moms and families? Just get creative about, it's not enough to just be pro-life, you know, vote the right way, which has been complicated even in recent history. We've got to be the, you know, arms and legs of this movement and not just the talking heads, you know.
Let's do this. We'll grab a couple quick calls for you. My guest, Catherine Jean Lopez, if you're on hold, I'll do my best to get you on the number here if you want to get in. 888-914-9149. Susan's listening in Farmingdale, New York, and wants, I guess, to ask you a question or sound off with you, Catherine. Hi, Susan. Good afternoon.
Hi. How are you?
We're well. Thanks. Thanks for calling.
I'm just questioning about in the case of somebody who is like raped or incest or somebody saying to a woman about, you know, you have to do this, even a family member, you know, I mean, it happened to me and I regret it for the rest of my life. But I had someone that said, you have to do this, you have to do this. And, you know, I've lived mm-hmm. with that all my life. It's a horrible feeling.
I'm sorry.
But people who are like, you know, even like Hasidic Jews, God knows what they do to those people. Mm-hmm. And then where do these children go? You know,
Susan,
it's heartbreaking. Susan, it really is. And I just, you know,
Susan,
if a person can do that to a woman and then, you know, they have to bring into the world and then tell them that story of or whatever, you know.
I'll let Catherine
maybe
respond.
I'm wrong, maybe
Susan, I'll tell you, I'll let Catherine respond to you, but I'll just share with you just a couple quick stories. And Catherine, you probably know many of these. I've had dinner with several women who are survivors of rape. Their mothers have been raped, and the mother knew that the child was an innocent victim. The child had nothing to do with that, you know, and was not the rapist. Now, of course, does that bring back memories of that event? Perhaps for that mother, but that child and those women that I now know, they're incredible examples of how sacred life is and the beauty of it in their lives, and how the mother and the daughter, really, the mother finds out that that child's her greatest blessing. It's not a curse. It's not a constant memory of that. Every child in the womb has a right to life. Every child from the moment of conception has a right to life. We're not the authors of life. We don't have a right to take it, regardless of what happens. But Catherine, I'll let you respond to Susan as well.
Well, I just want to thank Susan for calling, because, you know, this debate, this political issue, this legal issue is such a human issue, and there's so much pain, and it's just so important, whatever side we're on, that we listen to one another and we hear the real stories and we relate on a human level. You know, sometimes my fear is that people don't even meet one another. It's like the chorus and the, you know, and the secular chorus, you know, the church chorus and the secular chorus, and people don't meet, and people just scream at one another. And I just want to thank you for calling, because we need to relate to one another on a human level. And Drew, what you said, I flashed back to a March for Life where there was a strong contingent of, I think the group is called Remember the One. Yeah. And it's the 1% of, that we always talk about, rape and incest.
Right.
And these were men and women who were the products of rape. But they're not products, they're human beings. And that's why they were there to say, some courageous woman made a decision in for life in the worst of circumstances, but
that's
didn't want to add violence to violence,
Yeah, and the other thing too, just for our caller here, Susan, there is help out there. I my heart goes out to you. I'm very, very sorry for what you went through. I really am, and I can't imagine the pain that you carry every single day. If you have not done this, there are two groups I strongly recommend. One is called Project Rachel. The other is Rachel's Vineyards. For any
yes,
woman,
I know about it.
Have you had a chance to check into them? Have you gone to any of those? Any of those weekends?
No, I haven't. But I've looked into, from my parish and stuff like that. We've always, and talked to priests and stuff like that. That's important for me to do.
Amen.
Which I have, reconciliation through that with a priest. So to say that, that you took a child's life but you want to be forgiven for that. So
yes.
I don't want
to. And Susan, you are entitled to be forgiven. Susan, I don't know what the priest told you. I hope he told you yes, because the Lord told St. Faustina, the greater the sinner, the greater the right they have to his mercy. And he meets you in that sacrament of reconciliation. So, you know you're loved,
Susan,
and know that you're forgiven, okay? I want you to know that. I want you to hear that.
Also, Susan,
I want to
go ahead, Catherine.
Please, Susan, know that God knows that you were being forced into this, and focus on his mercy more than, what happened on, because he wants you to have that mercy and enjoy that mercy. And I would also recommend to you, go to sistersoflife.org. Feel free to give them a phone call. They have a post-abortion healing ministry, and they've talked to so many women, and they know how painful it is.
Yep.
And they
right.
would just love on you so much.
I
so
guess I
really
want other people
you.
Who are listening to this program, about that their position and not to feel and carry this in their life,
Good for you.
Right.
Amen to that. Well, Susan, thank you for your call. God bless you, Susan. In Oceanside, California, Lee's listening, gave up her son for adoption 60 years ago. Lee, good afternoon.
Wow.
Hello?
Hi, Lee. Good afternoon.
I just wanted to tell you, 59 years ago, I gave up my son for adoption. I chose not to abort it. And for 30 years, I carried guilt. After 30 years, I found my son, and I met him. And the first thing he said to me is, thank you for not aborting me.
Oh, my gosh.
Of course. Wow.
And at that time, I was immediately released from any regrets that I had, as I knew I had placed him into a loving home, and I knew that the only thing I could do is drag him from one place to another. I was 16 years old. I didn't know where to go or what to do, and I'm telling you, I have never regretted for a minute that I had adopted him to a wonderful family.
Oh,
God bless you.
You are a heroine. Thank you so much for sharing that story. There's a group called Brave Love that celebrates birth mothers. And I hope that you can hear my celebration of knowing you exist in my voice. You really are a hero.
Wow. Hey, I don't know how much time you have, Catherine. I'd love to have you hang with me for another segment.
Sure.
If you can, if you got to run, I get it. But let me take a short break. I've got to take care of some business here. If you're on hold, we'll do our very best to get you on the air. I'm grateful for your patience. We're talking today Beth, it's all unfolding around the country in light of the Supreme Court and the fight for life. There's been another attack on another church. I'm just getting that information right now. When I come back, let me fill you in on another event that you need to know about, okay? And of course, we will pray for all of you in the chapel. That's about 15 minutes away.
Relevant Radio runs on horsepower, your horsepower. Donate any vehicle and keep your station running. Join in with thousands of other listeners who have given their unused vehicles at relevantradio.com/car.
The Chaplet of Divine Mercy begins soon on Relevant Radio.
Well, thanks for joining me. It's good to be here with you today. I'm speaking this afternoon with Catherine Jean Lopez. If you want to get in, love to take your calls. We'll pray coming up in a few minutes. Taking a look at what's being reported around the country. My daughter called me from Texas. Catherine has been reporting on this as well. Churches have been vandalized. Tabernacles have been stolen. The Eucharist has been desecrated. Abortion clinics have been set fire. So the battle, if you will, the rage continues to intensify here. Just before the broadcast, Maggie had sent me a link, and Maggie, I got to get over to that. Here it is. And I want to stand corrected. It's not another church that's been vandalized, but another pro-life center. There's been vandalism now reported at Northern Virginia Pro-Life Resource Center. And over the weekends, apparently, vandals there defaced a pro-life pregnancy center. And they wrote in graffiti like they often do in so many of these buildings and churches. Abortion is a right. And they wrote the words fake clinic, liars, and all these other things that were on there. So to my daughter's point and to our call as followers of Christ, we're called to pray. We're called to forgive those who persecute us. We should be doing, as Our Lady said in Fatima to the young seers, we should be doing penance and sacrifice for so many of these souls who are just so lost. Their mind has become so darkened. Catherine, it's good to have you back here with me, and there's so much to talk about. Let's jump right into the phones. We'll grab another call or two. Bergen County, New Jersey. Will is listening to us there. Will, hi, you're on the air. Good afternoon.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Drew. Real quick, I don't want to take up too much time, but here's the issue I would love for Relevant Radio and the Catholic Church to spread, and that is I wish you would put on your website really the statistics about abortion. I did find one, and it was very difficult to find with the Google and all the rest of preventing all this, but it is basically statistics about the number of the percentage of abortions that are actually done for elective reasons with no reason at all at 92.3. Yeah, my point being is that I know many people are probably pro-abortion with rape, incest, and of course the mother's life. But if they saw the stats at how little or how minute those percentages are, I think they would have a different turn of heart with the whole abortion issue. And I was wondering if you could find something where you could post it that is legit, that the Catholic Church has done, or another site.
Well, it's such a great point. I'll tell you what I did during the break, believe it or not. And Catherine, I was so glad you said that 1% of all abortions occur because of rape and incest. I remember I had to give a talk somewhere a couple years ago, and they wanted me to come and speak about life. And like you, Will, I came across a stat. 1% of all abortions occur because of rape and incest. 6% occur because of potential health problems regarding either the mother or the child, okay? That said, 92 to 93% of all abortions occur for social reasons, that the child is unwanted or is inconvenient or whatever the excuse may be. And it's such a great point. So what I did, after Catherine made that 1% remark, I did a quick search. I said, well, let me pull up that stat. I forget where I saw it. I went to Google. I could not find it. You know, all these other newspapers and Guttmacher and all these other, you know, publications came up. Then I put in Priest for Life, and I threw in a stat. Still didn't come up. And Catherine, let me bring you into this conversation as well, because I think Will's bringing a great point. And maybe you should do a piece. Maybe you should do some research. Are the algorithms changing now that these numbers are hard to find? I mean, I should be able to find that with just a couple strokes of my keypad. And yet, just seconds ago, it didn't come up. So to those two points, what's happening online, and how persuasive will this fact be if we represent, you know, the real data that's out there, not what the popular culture wants you to believe?
Yeah, there's definitely censorship happening. Ryan Anderson and my colleague Alexandra DeSantis have a book coming out at the end of June calling Tearing Us Apart, and it's about how abortion ruins everything, basically. But one of the things they talk about is some of this tech censorship. And I know I've experienced it myself recently, trying to advertise pro-life virtual events. Facebook bans the ads. They're rejected. I know Live Action has had censorship happen to them. I think that's definitely a real thing that's going on, which I think, among other things, besides, you know, trying to fight it, I think those websites that have a name, those media entities that have a name, people trust Relevant Radio, people trust National Review, you know, we should make more of an effort to make sure that we're making the facts super accessible and the resources super accessible. I would commend to your listeners the Charlotte Lozier Institute, mm-hmm. which does and collects a lot of research on abortion. They have done a number of surveys of pregnancy care centers and maternity homes around the country. And so there's a lot of information there. I also, the Knights of Columbus for over a dozen years have been commissioning Marist polling, where you consistently see, I find this one of the most encouraging things, that most people who describe themselves as pro-choice are not those people I encountered on Saturday morning outside Old St. Patrick's Cathedral in New York. They're right. People who simply want to know that a woman in a difficult situation has options. So we need to do our best to make sure that people know what those options are. And that's not just on websites or on social media. That's in our lives, in our individual relationships. As I said before, people may know that I oppose abortion, but then they know that they could come to me, you know? Wow. A girl could come to me if she was pregnant, and I would do everything I can do to get her the resources that she can, that she needs to actually be a mom or to choose adoption, which is...
Amen to that. Your cell is fading out just a little bit. Catherine, I hope you're still with us.
I am.
Great points. And Will, thank you for your call, too. I think it's a really important fact and stat, and we need to make them more accessible. And Catherine, as you point out, National Review, Relevant Radio, there's some good Charlotte Lozier, a lot of sources out there. I'm going to try to track down some of those stats. But, Will, keep up the good work. Let's get the truth out. And I do appreciate your
telephone call.
We only have a couple minutes,
so let's,
we'll jump to another call here. Here's Bakersfield, California. Lisa is joining us. Lisa, thanks for calling in. Go right ahead.
Hi, Drew. Yeah, thank you. Thank you for taking my phone call. Just a quick comment here. This morning, this is kind of strange here as we're talking about, you know, abortion. I am pro-life, mm-hmm. for sure, just to make that statement here. But I started looking up, for whatever reason, I couldn't remember the name, the founder of Apple, or mm-hmm. Apple Computers, or Apple Phones. And so, sure enough, I did a Google search, and it was Steve Jobs. And yeah. And so I started looking on him, and I started reading a little bit of history on him. Turns out that his mom from college, she met her Steve's biological mm-hmm. father. I think they went to school in Michigan or Wisconsin. Right. She got pregnant, came to California, had her baby, and gave her baby up for adoption to the Jobs. And so it made me think about, had this mom, mm-hmm. you know, aborted her son, today we wouldn't have Apple. And if we did, it probably would have been, you know, right. maybe down the line or what have you not.
You're
but
right.
It's also kind of ironic that, you know, here he built this ways of communication, and people are taking now this communication, you know, and using it not for the good, yeah. like, you know, social media and yeah. the things that are accessible to us. Right. And so it makes me wonder also, too, you know, like where would he have stood if he was alive today, knowing that his mom could have made that same decision
yeah,
of not
true.
Having him?
And Lisa, first of all, thanks for the call. I've got a couple of minutes, so I just want Catherine to respond to you as well. But I think it's such a valid point. I had heard somewhere, and I can't speak to where this was, that in one of those very famous apparitions, a virgin had once said that the person who was who would have been born would have had the cure to cancer was aborted or something along those lines. So maybe it's now going to be generations down the lines. Who knows? But the point speaks, your point speaks to this. We don't know what doctor could have cured cancer, what physicist would have made some incredible breakthrough, what new inventor could have revolutionized the world and energy. We don't know. I mean, I think of how many innocent children have lost their lives. And to the stat that we threw out, 92-93% just for convenience or fear, it really is tragic. Catherine, your thoughts for Lisa. And I'll tell you what, abortion will come to an end in this country. It's on its way out. And before I go too far, I just want to, one final thought here. Let me get Dominique in here. If you've had an abortion, you hear this type of talk, know that God does love you, and that he wants to forgive you, and that his mercy is yours. Dominique, I only have got a moment, so I'm going to throw it to you very quickly. I know you've been holding a long time. Good afternoon in Albuquerque.
Hi, good afternoon, Drew. I just was listening to all the stuff that's kind of going on around the nation, and this prayer came to me. It's from a church-approved apparition in Hungary, and Jesus promised to blind and bind Satan whenever it is said. And so I just like to say that prayer real quick.
You know what? I don't even have 30 seconds for you. I'd love you to do that. I'll tell you what. If you want to stay, we'll do it when I come back right before the chaplet, okay? Thanks, Dominique.
Okay.
All right. We'll say this prayer that will blind and bind the evil one, especially when it comes to the culture of death. The chaplet is straight ahead. Stay with me. We'll pray.